Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
That's because they don't teach it in school.
Huh. Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell. Can you give me an example?
Well, I'd love to, but in order to show you how, I'd have to have someone here.
Well, that's great. Meet my friend Lauren.
Oh, you brought a friend.
Yeah.
That's great. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Me too.
You need to get saved.
Saved from what?
Alright, what I'm trying to say is you need to be born again.
So are you talking about, like, reincarnation or...
Look, if you don't get set, or if you're not born again, look, you basically, you just have to turn or burn, okay? Turn or burn!
Look, what my friend's trying to say is, Jesus wants to have a real relationship with you and be a part of your life.
Oh, I get it.
See? I told you everyone understood Christianese.
And anyway, everybody don't understand Christianese. A lot of times, even Christians don't understand Christianese sometimes. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit. The beautiful thing is what Jesus told the disciples. They've been walking with him for a period of time. He's been teaching them, depositing his spirit. It was inside their understanding. Yet he told them, hey, listen, I'm going to the Father. But when I get to the Father, I'm going to send back to you the Comforter. And you are to wait here in Jerusalem. Don't move. Hold your ground. Stay still. Be still. And wait till I send you power from on high. When he comes, the Spirit of Truth, he will teach you, lead you, and guide you into all truth. A lot of times, some of the things, the problems that we have is we don't want to listen and follow instructions. We don't want advice. We want to stumble through the dark till we find our own way so that we can say that we did something. Without Christ, I can do nothing. I can do all things through him because he strengthened me. That's just good news. That's good news all by itself. Amen. And so before I get on, I want to know, how's your mental on tonight? Do you have any prayer requests? All the mics are open. God bless each of you. I guess we'll start with Dr. Wolfgang. I see he was one of the first one to pop up on the board. How are you doing this evening, sir? You and Sister Ruth?
He wants to know how you doing, babe.
I'm doing great there, Pastor Bonnie. How you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. Great to hear your voice on this evening. Amen. How's y'all mental this evening? How you feeling?
I'm a 10 tonight.
I'm about an 8. I still got the pain in my knees, but, you know, I still think God can heal, so I'm waiting on it, and I think he'll do it.
Amen. I like that positive attitude. Amen. Be like them Hebrew boys. They said, King, our God can deliver us from the fire. It's like he will deliver us. But if he don't, he's still able. I think sometimes that's our approach with many things is we got to know that God is still able. Amen. Amen. And begin to see God. One of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 7:7. Ask, seek, and knock. Some things we have to ask, some things we have to seek, and some things we have to keep on knocking. To me, that means just keep on praying, keep on believing God, and one day soon, that door going to open up for you. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Hey, how you doing? God bless you.
Hey, Pastor Bonnie.
Hey, that's Sister Emily. God bless you. Amen.
No, actually, it's Donald Duck.
That's Donald Duck. Okay, I'm putting Duck up here. Duck. Duck.
I had to get you on that one tonight.
Amen. That's all right. That's all right. I know your personal number. I know how to call you. Now, that's right. I got your email address. I know how to email you a good switch. You all right. I know how to reach out and touch you.
Pastor Bonnet.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know who dared me to do that one to you tonight?
Donnie.
Exactly. He said, when you go on the show tonight, Mom, he said, when you say hi to Pastor Bonnet, and he goes, oh, that's Sister Emily, tell him, no, it's Donald Duck.
That's
so
all right.
That joke came from Kentucky for you.
That's all right. I like Donald Duck. He's one of my favorite characters. Because I was growing up, I was able to talk like he used to talk with that look. So
That's good. All right.
Hey, Frankie, you got the Ruby Ranch.
Amen. Well, I tell you, it's good to have everyone on the show. How you doing today? How's your mental, Sister Emily?
I have been above a 10 all day because I turned around even though I woke up this morning and I had some little issues this morning, but God brought me through it anyway.
Amen.
Since I had my bone marrow transplant on the 17th, they had told me way ahead of time that it would be possible that I may run every couple of days or so. I might be running some low-grade fevers, but it wasn't really nothing to panic and run to the hospital.
Okay.
So they have me on this medication, and it's not Tylenol like an adult would take. They have me on the liquid Tylenol like an infant would take for right now until they know that this bone marrow took this time and that the bone marrow cancer does not show up again. So right now
Amen.
I can't take regular Tylenol. And that's aggravating because I got a toothache.
All right. Well, we're definitely going to be praying with you that the bone marrow transplant takes very well and your body begin to heal like it should, like it need to, so that you can live a joyful and healthy life. So make sure you eat right and drink your water.
You know, I actually ate some mashed potatoes tonight and did not get an upset stomach for the first time since the 17th.
That's good.
And Sister Ruth and Missionary Ken gave me a Meals on Wheels. And what was that meal, Sister Ruth?
Oh, that was that Italian sausage with pepper and onions, and I think it had some kind of veggie, too.
And I ate that when I came home, and I was still hungry after I ate the mashed potatoes, and I noticed that wasn't messing with me. So I said, now, God, I'm not going to say I'm lucky on this one. I'm going to say it's because of you this one happened. And I'm going to try to see what happens if I eat this Italian sausage with the peppers and stuff in it. I want to see if that's going to irritate me. Because last time I tried eating something like that, this short of time after the last bone marrow transplant I had that went south, I ended up sick as a dog. Some cramps right after it. I was sick. And this time God turned around and put his hand there to where I'm not getting sick from anything I'm eating this time.
Well, praise the Lord.
I even took, Pastor Bonnie, pulled out one of the homemade sweet potato pies that Missionary Ken made up for me, and I heated that in the oven. I sat there and ate half of that sucker.
Oh, you got quite a good appetite. That's good.
That is good. That is good. Amen.
And
amen.
Mama Bonnet, I just heard in the background.
Yeah, I'm just trying to ask her, Lady Bonnet, how you doing?
I'm good.
How's your mental tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm hungry. She's making me hungry.
Yeah, me too. I just realized I haven't eaten nothing since before noon. I'm like, okay.
Oh, the other day when I was talking to Mama Bonnet, I think yesterday or the day before when I talked to Mom, I was goofing off and I tried to get her to do something. She goes, uh-uh.
I realized he gonna send you a switch.
Yeah, she did. I was goofing off and I said, hey, Mom. I said, you said you were going to call Dad asking me to go get you something to eat. And she goes, yeah. I said, tell Dad, I said, go get me some seafood and drive it up here.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, I haven't emailed you a switch.
Yeah, she the seafood queen. If I get anybody some seafood, she gonna want the seafood for herself. Me, seafood is all right, but I want to eat it. Y'all catch that tomorrow?
Oh, there was this joke one time. I had been on a diet. I went on this diet, tried to take off some weight. And then when I dropped too much weight, then my doctor was having a fit about it. I said, oh, I know what kind of diet I could go on now. You're complaining I lost too much weight. And the doctor walked right smack into my joke. And he goes, what do you mean you know what kind of diet you could go on now since I'm having a fit about your losing too much weight? I said, yeah, it means I can go on a seafood diet. If I see it, I can eat it.
That's it. If I see it, I can eat it. Amen. I think we have Queen on the line as well. Good evening, Queen Nye. How you doing this evening?
Beautiful.
She has to unmute her own line. I got to unmute it. We'll come back to her. Maybe she's... Amen.
Pastor Bonnet, I forgot. We got to pray for Mrs. Quick. She went up to down to Columbus. It'd be down from us. But they live in the south, and they went up to Columbus. I guess she got a little better, but I poor sweetheart has been through already back surgery. Henning went through back surgery. I wouldn't want to go through that ever. I've had back problems, and I believe God will heal mine. I ain't worried about no dumb surgery.
Yeah, I didn't do
the
surgery.
They did back surgery on me, and I told them not.
Yeah, I told them no, too. And God, I'm a living witness that God will heal you. My wife can tell you I used to be in pain a lot. We was on one vacation together. I don't know if it was a honeymoon or just a regular vacation, anniversary. But I got out the bed at the hotel and just fell on the ground because pain, that nerve pain, whenever it would hit, it would just take the strength away from my legs. And I tell you, I hit that ground so hard, and she was about to panic. she didn't know what to do. You know, a young man like myself at the time, shouldn't go to stand up and fall. You know, that I told her, I said, I'll be all right. Let me lay here for a minute. laid there for a few moments and told God, thank you. I'm still alive. And got back on up and kept on. And we went on. And just one day out of the blue, I realized I wasn't in pain. And I just tell God, thank you. And it came to me just like that. I can't tell you when the pain stopped. All I know is it did. And I work hard. I've been working all my life since I was 16 years old. I've been gainfully employed, very active every week, active in ministry, and so on. So I just refused to stop. I knew it was my obligation as a husband, as a father, to take care of my family. And I just believed God was going to give me the strength to do it, and he did. That's why I stand on, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Because he gave me the strength to do it. So, amen. Amen. Well, before I go any further, any prayer requests, before we go any further, any prayer requests on tonight? Any prayer requests?
I was going to ask you, be praying for my mom. I've noticed she's getting to the point where she, the other day, we ended up losing my biological father's younger sister. And within the last couple of days, she's been making comments, I wish I could be with your two aunts.
Mm. Okay. She getting tired.
And I told her, I said, Mama, I said, that's not what Aunt Lori and Aunt Sharon would want. They would want you to push on and be here for the grandbabies.
Yeah.
I said, we need you here too, Mama.
Amen. Amen. Well, you just keep encouraging her. Let her know that you enjoy her presence and you need it. So, you know, you do that as much as possible just to uplift her spirit, you know. Every now and then, you know, call her when she answers the phone, say, front desk.
the other day she called the house, speaking of my mom, she called the house the other day. And I had to get her really good. I got the cantankerous mood in me to be just a slight bit more ornery than normal. I answered the phone message and I go, hello, community care ambulance, how can we help you? And my mom goes, oh, I didn't mean to dial that number. And then I fell out laughing at her. She goes, oh, I ought to smack the tar out of you. I said, I ain't made of tar.
Yeah, but that blood going to come out thick like tar. Amen.
That's smart because you're on the other side of the phone, too.
Amen. So we have prayer requests for Sister Quick, prayer requests for your mom, any other prayer requests out there that we may pray. Anyone else?
I always keep my father lifted up in prayer. He's doing better. He had an infection last week. His breathing was, but that's his testimony. He's doing much better. They put him on antibiotics, and his sugar was high. My mom got his sugar back down, so he's doing better. But keep him lifted up in prayer that God just keep him healed. And also for the caregivers that take care of the ones that, you know, is bedbound or can't get out. And we need to keep on encouraging them and praying for them.
Amen. So our prayer request is for Mr. Johnson. And we also praying for caregivers.
Mr. Joy.
And his caregiver is his wife, Miss Jordan. Amen. We're praying for her. So we're praying for your parents. And amen. Amen. Any other prayer requests?
Yeah, I got some lost souls in the neighborhood. They just keep irritating us. They even hit our house with balls or something. And Kenny finally walked over and talked to them nicely, but now they think I called the police on them. I did not. So just pray over them, because I don't believe they've ever even heard of anything about the Lord. So that's one thing I may just have to try to see if I can witness to them, because they're really messed up.
All right. We're praying for your neighborhood. Amen. For peace in your neighborhood and with your neighbors. Amen. Amen. I heard somebody in the background, but I don't see it on the board. Brother Six, are you on the line? Okay. Amen. Well, Father
God, for you and Mom.
Father God, we just thank you right now for prayer requests. We lift them up before you. We ask, Lord God, that you would look down on First Lady Quick, that you would just touch her body. Lord, we don't know what she has to do with the back surgery, but God, you are able. You're the great physician. So we know that the doctors are able to do only so much, but it takes you to do the rest. And so, God, we just speak healing into her body and peace in her mind. We ask that you look down on Sister Emily's mother and continue to encourage her heart to keep on living. We thank you, Lord God. We pray for Sister Emily and her bone cancer, marrow implant, that it would take well, Lord God, that healing would just begin to take place in her body, that she would gain the strength she needs, the appetite she needs, Lord God, so she can have the peace that only you can provide. And we thank you for that. We ask that you will bless Lady Bonnet's parents, Lord God, that you will look down on her father with dementia, that you will continue to keep him healthy as possible, Lord God, as in this season of his life, Lord God, that you would touch him and strengthen him. And Lord God, we believe that you are able to reverse all things. You did it for King Nebuchadnezzar. You're able to do it for Mr. Johnson. So we thank you now. Mr. Jordan, excuse me. I'm saying Johnson, Mr. Jordan, glory to God. So we ask that you would touch Mr. Jordan, Lord God, and strengthen him and touch his body right now in the name of Jesus. Touch her mom, continue to give her strength in her body, that she may continue to be the help and the aid that she is to her husband. We thank you for the great example of love, fellowship that she has demonstrated faithful as a wife to her husband. And so we thank you now, Lord God, for their example. Touch Lady Bonnet's body, Lord God. Look down on her. Continue to strengthen her and give her strength to do all that you have called her to do in this days and time. And, Lord God, we just thank you now. Look down on Brother Kenny, Lord God, Minister Wolfgang. Touch him and strengthen him, Lord God. Allow him the words, what to say to his neighbors, Lord God, and how to keep peace, Lord God. And we just thank you now. Thank you for the work that he does, Lord God. We ask that you continue to look over the blind ministry that he has, Lord God, that you would give him insight on how to continue to make it grow. And Lord God, that he may be effective to those that are sight challenged and have no sight at all. Lord God, that they would, Lord God, be able to read the Bible, hear the Bible, receive the word of truth. Lord God, continue to bless his ministry. And we just thank you now, Lord God. We thank you for all the members of the Six Eyes Radio Network. We ask that you bless each one by one, name by name. And as you continue to do so, Lord God, we just say thank you. Thank you for all that you do, all that you're going to do. Thank you, Lord God, for the spirit of patience that will allow us to venture forward into the things that you have already prepared for us. Now, God, as we prepare our hearts to go further in the teaching on tonight, give me words to say that that will bring illumination to the very words that you have already written for our understanding. And so, God, we thank you now. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. We thank you, Father. Amen and amen. All right. So as we as we go forward, amen, on today, I like this one commercial. And it is called The Favor of God. And I just love it. Just me.
The favor of God stops you're being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young, and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
Amen, amen. The disciples was told to wait in Jerusalem until the Comforter comes. So many teachings on the Holy Spirit, and many people are still confused and have misunderstanding or little understanding of the Holy Spirit. It has been my desire and my endeavor this month to put emphasis on the Holy Spirit in helping us to understand his purpose, his function, the benefits, and so on. But again, many people don't know about the Holy Spirit. In fact, over in Acts chapter 19, we see these words here, chapter 19, verses 2 through 6. And I'm reading from the New Living on this one. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so there's many people that believe in Christ and even ask Christ to come in their heart, but they don't understand the functionality of the Holy Spirit or nor understand the benefit that he has and desire for their life. And so some don't. And depending on how they were taught, these people here went and experienced only John the Baptist baptism. But we'll read that in the text here. So he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Says, well, then what baptism did you experience? He asked. And they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who will come after, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Paul laid hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. That is Acts chapter 19, verse 26. And so this was their experience and their encounter surrounding receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, he is the Paracletus. He is the one to resound to us the words of God. He is the one to guide us in the things of godliness for God's purpose. So, in talking about the Holy Spirit actually have nine gifts, or there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. We read that on yesterday, and we're going to visit that in the text as we pick up in it. But those nine gifts, and they are gifts of the Holy Spirit, that means these are things that God will bless you with, may place upon you for service so that you may fulfill the obligation of these things. So these are nine gifts. They are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith. That's right, faith itself can be a gift. Gifts of healing, amen. Prophecy, discerning of spirits. That's just not discerning something that's going on, but to identify with what spirit or spirits in operation there. Diverse kinds of tongues, and that's important. Sometimes when we saw that when Jesus was casting out demons, he asked them their name. Then other times he didn't allow them to speak. You have to have the right understanding around that. Diverse kinds of tongues, interpretations of tongues. So those are nine gifts. So these are ministrations because they are to help us, to develop us in doing the work of the church. The work of the church is not, quote, unquote, the work of your building. You and I, we are the body of Christ. So we are the church. You, sir, you, ma'am, you are the church. For we are the body of Christ. Amen. And if we be the body of Christ, we all have a part to fulfill in the body. Amen. So there's place for you, there's purpose for you in your local ministry. Amen. There's a place, there's a purpose for you, there's a plan that God has for you. It doesn't matter how others are looking at you. What matters is how you see yourself in God. Amen. Now, in order for us to do that, we ourselves must develop the 9 attributes of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is singular. But he has 9 attributes. That means these are qualities of his characteristic that he will lay upon us. We find those things in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Let's turn now. So I'm going to do this in reverse, even though I got it written one way. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, 22. Amen. So in this 22, in this Galatian here, and I'm only just pointing out the attributes of the Holy Spirit, but this is a chapter to go back and read, and it'll explain so many things. That discerning of spirits, when you go back and look at all the different other manifestations of a evil spirit that works in the flesh, if I remember correctly, it was like 14 different things that manifest through the flesh of wickedness that causes sin. And so on. So it's very important that we understand that when God gives you the discerning of spirits, that you'll pick up on people that are caught in adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, witchcraft, idolatry, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envious, murderers, drunkenness, rebellious. You know, you'll pick up on people that are dealing with that inwardly, internally, that those spirits may be oppressing them, maybe be directly oppressing them in their life, or connected to members of their families that bring in a low self-esteem, a heaviness, and a burden in their family. And so when you have that discerning of spirit, God will teach you, the Holy Spirit will give you how to pray for those that are in those circumstances. But in order for us to do that, we must take on those attributes of the Holy Spirit. And they are, number one, in all that we do, we're going to operate in the Holy Spirit, we must start off with love. If we don't have love, it don't matter how gifted we are, it means nothing. You can have many of those gifts, those 9 gifts, any one of them, but if you don't have love, you do not profit the kingdom of God at all. And it will not benefit you for your eternal reward. Now, that statement is not one of condemnation saying you go to hell. But I'm saying to you, you will lose rewards that will be prepared for you in heaven when you're operating in God's gifts and you don't have the attributes to carry those gifts. We talk about having the right attitude to promote you in your altitude. That's as you rise up in society. But if you don't have a developed good character, then your gift will take you in places, but your character will bring you down. And so because you didn't have the character to maintain the status that your gift brought for you. So it's very important to understand that the Holy Spirit is developing us, and is developing us by allowing us to have his spirit. Now, if I gave you an apple, didn't matter what kind of apple it was, if you looked at the apple for its benefit, we used to say growing up, an apple a day keep the doctor away. Well, why was that? Because the apple provided vitamin A. We don't talk about that much today, unless you are in a circle that really deal with a lot of nutritional values and stuff of that nature, talk about the benefits of vitamin A. We hear the benefits of vitamin D or vitamin C from time to time when they're talking about orange juice and milk. But we seldom hear them talking about vitamin A from the apple. So, but we know that if we consume it, it's going to give us the attributes of it. If you have leg cramps and different things of that nature, they'll tell you your potassium in your bloodstream or your body is low. And so they'll tell you to eat some bananas. Add it to your diet, you know, and to build your potassium levels up to help reduce the cramping that can take place within your body. And so these are attributes. And so the fruit is there to consume, but the benefit of the fruit. So the Holy Spirit is there for us to consume, but he has benefits. But it's more important for us to understand those benefits or those attributes and how they can support us. Having love will keep you from hating people. You know, having genuine love in your heart will allow you to forgive people that have done you wrong. So it's very important for us to hold on to that, to that attribute from the Holy Spirit called love. Then here's one that will keep your overall psyche above an 8, and that is when you have joy. When you have joy, your joy is not predicated on money, and it's not predicated on your extended relationship outside of God. That's all. That's everybody, family, children, parents, work related. When you have a relationship with God, your joy is full. And so he helps you spread the joy that he has invested in you to others. That means when you come around, people just seem to get happy. They kind of light up. They enjoy talking to you. You know, they say some people, they never meet a stranger because they're so inviting. They're full of joy. Peace. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So that attribute of peace is what the Holy Spirit wants to give us. Here's one that we don't want to talk about, but he gives it to us because sometimes the plan is to go through long. So it's long suffering. The Apostle Paul, who's responsible for giving us nearly 2/3 of the New Testament, he was given this in abundance because he had to go through hell and hot water. He had to go through. He went through from one thing to another, They got marooned on an island, a viper bitten. They thought he was going to die. He shook it off. Why? Because he had, God has given him love. God has given him peace. God has given him long suffering. And so God has protected him. But he didn't complain about it. Even when they was trying to say one thing about him, he said, why you grieve my heart? I must endure what God has given me. If God has given me this, that's what I'm going to endure. That's what I'm going to go through. And so that long-suffering, gentleness, as born-again believers, it is for us to understand that everybody is not privy to the gospel. And so you don't know what state they are come from in their mind about religion, faith, hope. And so we must have gentleness as we reach out to pull those people in. Our heart must be filled with goodness. Those are ideals of how to help others and to make your world better. Faith has a dual role. Faith is given as a gift, but faith is also given as an attribute. So from absorbing the Holy Spirit, meekness and temperance. Against these things, there's no law to prevent them from working. There's no law to hinder their advancement, period. So when we consume the Holy Spirit and allow those 9 attributes to work through us, there's nothing that can hinder them. There's nothing to stop them. Now, we know the working of the devil is to shed everything down because the thief comes out, but to still kill and destroy. We're not talking about that. We're talking about your desire to work them, to utilize them. There's no law to stop you. Amen. So, now let's go to our primary text, picking up from where we were yesterday, but we're going to back up to the beginning, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be there in verse number 1. Important for us to, as believers, to read this letter written to the church in Corinth, to explain to them spiritual workings and the working of the Holy Spirit. He said, now concerning spiritual gifts, that's what we've just been talking about. He said, brethren. So he identifies them as people of like faith. Okay? So he's not talking to someone that don't believe in the Most High God. He's not dealing with folks that are not looking for the promises of God to come to pass. But he is talking to a people that have accepted Jesus for the atonement of their sin. He's talking to a group of people that have heard the gospel. And although they may have been challenged in their development, he's reaching out to them. He said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, that word ignorant don't mean dumb or stupid. It's not those assaulting words to put somebody down. The word ignorant means not to know. It simply means unknown or unlearned. So if you're ignorant to something, it simply means you just don't know. You haven't been informed. You haven't learned it yet. And so we don't have to stay uninformed. We don't have to stay unlearned. And so he's reaching out to them, letting them know, I'm not going to leave you ignorant. In other words, I'm not going to leave you in the dark. Let me shine some light on this. I'm not going to leave you without information. Verse 2, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away, and that word ye is just simply you. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols. He's talking to a group of people that was being delivered from idol worship. One of the things of that culture and time, people would go to a craftsman, and that craftsman would shape an idol for them and sell it to them. And when they wanted this or that, they would begin to pray to that idol, to that statue that had ears but could not see. I mean, here, had eyes and could not see, had a mouth but couldn't talk. That statue that would, no matter how crafty that craftsman was, that craftsman could not make that idol do what it is impossible, eminent object to do. I mean, you think about it. If I made you, then how I'm going to pray to you to make me? It doesn't really add up. But because of superstition, because of wrongful upbringing, because of cultural norm, these things are taking place. So he's talking to them from the place where they were. He said, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand. So that's how he's removing the ignorance. I give you to understand. I'm going to give you knowledge. I'm going to give you an understanding. You know, we say it like this. He's going to learn them something. I know it's teach. Right now, he's going to learn them something right now. Amen. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Holy, by the Spirit, excuse me, by the Spirit of God, which is holy, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse. Why is he telling them that? Because curse is the man that is hung on a tree. So one of the worst things for them to understand or to see was anybody hanging from a tree. The Romans made this part of that crucifixion that they gave. They just didn't hang you on a tree. They created a cross from wood. They took parts of a tree, put a cross there, and will nail you to it and post you up before the people. And when people see you and what was written, it made them not want to be a part, because it says, if you be like this one, this is going to happen to you. It was a warning. So it incited fear. But he comes and he's telling them, nobody can call Jesus a curse that's listening or following the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is talking to you, teaching you, if you are a follower of God, and God's Spirit is in you, you know Jesus is not a curse. He became sin on our behalf, but he knew no sin. But let's read this again. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus cursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, he interchanged the words Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God, but they're the same. He's saying, in order, he said, if you have the Holy Ghost, then that's how you receive who Jesus is, because you listen to the Holy Ghost, excuse me. You listen and you heard it by the leading or guiding of the Holy Spirit. So you could not even come to Christ if it was not for the Holy Spirit bearing witness in your spirit that he is the Redeemer. Verse 4. Now there are divers of gifts, but the same Spirit. Very important for us to know those nine different gifts are not nine different gods. There's not a God of wisdom. There's not a God of knowledge. This is not Mount Olympus. This is not the writings from those Greek fables. So we're not praying to a God that gives one God that gives spirit, one God that gives knowledge, one God that gives wisdom, excuse me, one God that gives knowledge, one God that gives faith. We're not praying to different entities, but we're receiving these gifts by the one singular, self-same, holy God. And he is doing it through his very own spirit, his nature. Amen. So now there are divers of gifts, but the same spirit. And there are differences of administration. That means you and I both may be born again Christians, but the charge on my life may be different from the charge that's on your life. And the things that you may be able to do and get away with, I cannot, based on the call for my life, the charge that God has for my life. When we look at the Nazarene covenant, they couldn't eat raisins. Ain't nothing wrong with a raisin. Thing to say, we can't drink alcohol or any strong drink, but I can't eat a raisin? You know, they didn't want you to have any association with that which maketh the alcohol. So the grapevine was off limits for you. Well, you can see me eating a cluster of grapes. You can't get mad at me and say, hey, I thought you were a Christian. No, I am a Christian. Well, why are you eating them grapes? Wait a minute, hold on. Eating grapes don't make me not a Christian. So we have to be careful and mindful in our judgment when we're talking to people. Amen. But the same Lord, verse 6. And there are, what my time is? Okay. Oh, I'm good time. So verse 6, there are different operations, but the same God who is working all things in all. Wow. He's working for us. Verse 7, but to every man, some form of spirit working is given from a common good. For to one are given words of wisdom. And this is how he lays it out for us, the nine gifts. For one is giving the words of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another words of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, and to another the power of talking. The power. Oh, that's why this is DB translation. I know I'm fine. That ain't King James. Yeah, I was on my digital device and I changed. I'm like, wait a minute, that ain't what it says. I knew I was reading from the King James and accidentally changed the translation on me, and realized quickly, amen, that didn't measure up to what King James, the words where King James writing. Not that they was wrong in their translation, amen, but I was reading from, I like to be clear when I'm reading from different translations. That was the BBE, amen. So let me get back to, I'll go back to verse 4 in the King James. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. P-R-O-F-I-T. Now, this doesn't just mean monetary. That means this is not a get-rich scheme. And profit is relevant to fulfilling the need of what's required, because you can't build without the tools and the materials to build. So when God gives you certain gifts, it is to build or to develop the call that he's giving you. Whatever God commands, he provides. So when we're walking in his Spirit, he provides for us the things he has told us to do. Well, Brother Preacher, I've been waiting this, or I've been trying to do that. Sometimes, well, let me back it up like this. One of the illustrations, my brother, he's the chairman of the Pastors and Elders Council within our jurisdiction in over 4 different states. And so one of the things, when talking to other elders who may approach him and said, Mr. Chairman, I believe that God has called me to the pastorage, to pastor. He said, okay. He said, now I'm going to need you to go back and ask God what kind of pastor. And many would question, wait a minute, why I got to go back? If he told me the pastor, then I'm the pastor. Yeah, but what kind of pastor? Because when we deal with administration and gifts, some pastors are good and expiring. Some pastors are good in teaching. But corporately, you may have a pastor that's a campus pastor. His job is to make sure that the grounds of the church and those that are working within the church are being managed well and things are in proper operation. So you may have a ministration pastor that oversees the other ministries within that group. You may have a youth pastor that's targeted to a set group, whether it's those under 12 and under, or those 13 through 21. You know, so you what kind of pastor. A lot of times we say, I believe God has called me to minister. Okay, what kind of minister? Because did he call you to minister to the homeless? Did he call you to minister to those local? Did he call you to minister abroad? What kind? And when we don't understand that there are diversities that mean many different types, okay, then we'll put things in one box and then don't then be mad at God when it's not successful. When things are not working, we'll be mad at people, thinking that they didn't want to support or help. But when you're not clear on the obligation and responsibility, then it's on you, not them. That's why Habakkuk proceeded by Habakkuk 2:1, which I've told many people, I heard you when you said write the vision, make it plain. But let's go back to 1. Before he could write the vision, he had to position himself to pray to God in a high place. He had to come out of himself. He had to seek the Lord. And the Lord said, write the vision. Now God is talking. He's responding. In other words, I'm going to give you a vision. Write it. And the one that I give you, you write it. And they that read it will read it and run with it. In other words, you're going to have your help. But a lot of times, the real fault is we didn't write the vision that God gave us. We wrote our vision. I'm going to say it again. We didn't write the vision that God gave us. We wrote the vision that we gave ourselves. And because of that, that's why we're not getting the results that we've been looking for, is because we wrote our own vision and not the vision that God's given us. Okay? Verse 8, for one is given the spirit of word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same spirit, to another faith by the same spirit, to another gift of healing by the same spirit, to another the workings of miracle, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. I know y'all getting tired. King James said to another. But he's really just trying to establish that we are all in this together. He just didn't give all these things to one person. You're not to build by yourself. You are to write down what God said, position that where it can be read or received by others. And then we'll be able to build the type ministries and different things that God wants from us. All right, go back to 10. To another working. Oh, no, I read 10. All right. Verse 11, but all these work that one and the same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So it is very well possible for you to have more than one nine gift of the Holy Spirit. We are to have all nine attributes of the Holy Spirit. But you can receive more than one gift from the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, for as the body is one, and has many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So as Christians, we are the members of the body of Christ. And so as a member of the body of Christ, I can't look down on myself for one reason or another. Now, this teaching really goes on deeper because when you really break this teaching down, it deals with a lot of perception that we can have. And it helps us to understand better. So I encourage you to go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here one more time and just go through it little bit by little bit. Take you some notes as you go on. Underline in your Bible. Highlight it. The thing that's to you. Amen. And so verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit we all, are we all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." So in other words, your body is not just all one eye. Your body is not just a finger. I can't say, "Missionary Ken, bring me your ankle." And then when he come to me, I said, "Nah, I don't need you. I just need your ankle." His ankle is tied to him. Amen, somebody. And so we have to understand that because we are tied together. Amen. We are tied together. We all have our individual value. Amen. Verse 15. "If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Same thing I was just saying. "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where the smelling? But now has God set them members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one members, we are the body. That's why sometimes I read a different translation. If there were all one member, we're the body. So it's simply saying to us that we are all part of the one body of Christ. And the one body of Christ is with Christ. He is the head. Amen. "But now there are many members, but one body." Just because you're a Baptist and I'm a Presbyterian, you this and that, all those things of the denominational faith are how you, in your faith, decided, you and that organization made a conscious decision on this is how we're going to honor God. And so you cannot say the way you worship God is the only way to worship God. So we are part of the one body. Amen. And it goes on and on. So let's continue to read that in our leisure. I won the line here. Amen. Amen. I see I have a new caller. Amen. Area code 859. Welcome to the program. If you have a question concerning the Holy Spirit, press the 1, and I'll open up your mic and let you have words there, comment, question concerning the Holy Spirit that we've been reading on tonight. Amen. Amen. And the rest of the mics are open. Is there any question concerning the areas in which we've read tonight, dealing with the nature of the Holy Spirit? No one? No one? Amen.
Pastor Bonnet.
Yes, ma'am.
There's something my grandmother always taught me, okay? This may be a confusion to some people, but she thought that after you got saved and you received this Holy Spirit, that you could go out as a missionary and the Lord would give you the language to teach them and people would get saved. Now, that may be a confusion to some because some people in a Pentecostal church believe a different way. So maybe you could explain that.
Okay. We're in the book of Acts. We have to go back in the book of Acts. And I think earlier what I read earlier, I think that's the very primary text to read, Acts 19, what I read from the beginning. What took place then as the Holy Spirit was being to the world? Many of the believers were come together in Jerusalem for Passover. So according to their faith, they were coming together to worship. But many lived in different areas, and in the different areas where they lived, they had different dialects. Like most of us understand that all Spanish is not the same Spanish. People in Cuba may seem different from those over in Spain or Brazil. We think it's Spanish, but there's a different dialect. We here in America speak English, though there in England speak English, but our English have certain different dialect within it. So those that felt led by the Holy Spirit in the mission field, oftentimes God would give them, through the Holy Spirit, the ability, and we read that then, to speak in diverse kinds of tongues. That means when they, under the Holy Spirit, they will speak to them, and the people will hear the gospel in their dialect. That means because the scripture said when the outpouring took place, it said, how do we hear them in our different dialect? And so, and because that was the function of the Holy Spirit, was to make clear what is being said. And so it's so important. It's so important. So and then many will still go on the mission field and have to learn the language. Amen. And God will give them the ability to learn the language because they couldn't speak it in the beginning, but he would give them the ability to learn a different dialect, a different language. And so that they can fulfill the call of God that's on their life. Then there's many times in certain settings, the Holy Spirit will speak and one will begin to speak that heavenly language. But in the process of them praying and together in their fellowship, tongues, and there was a quietness in the room, another person will be anointed by the same Spirit to interpret what was said by that individual who was speaking as a oracle of God to the assembly. And so you will have one that will be able to come and make clear that which was said. So that's the overall, and I hope I answered your question. I may give it a little too much, but hopefully I answered your questions with the Ruth.
Yeah, I think it helped. To see, when I got saved, after that I went to I was a little confused, okay? So I went to several different churches. And when I went to this one church, it was Pentecostal, and I asked the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. And I spoke in tongues once, but it disappeared. And then I went off in the dance, and I still danced. But that's
Amen.
It. I mean, the Nazarene spoke against tongues. And so I had one lady there speak in tongues, and they told her to leave. So I could see where some confusion was in my life, but I still believe in the Holy Ghost and what he can do.
Yeah, because if you're speaking in tongues, that's your that is in our text.
Yeah.
In the same chapter that we're in, chapter 12, further down, he explains that for more about the speaking in tongues. So to all of our listeners that continue to read all of that. Lady Bonnet, you trying to say something?
No, I was saying that we have to interpretate the tongues. You have to have someone to interpretate the tongues. So some people have divers of tongues and different kinds of tongues, but we have to have someone to interpret, you know, and to have a clear understanding of the tongue.
And a lot
of people think, you know, just because, you know, because even in the word it says the gift of knowledge, faith, the healing, the workers of miracles, and, you know, the different kinds of tongues, the work of miracles. And but if we just, you know, say that you are filled with the Holy Ghost and you're jumping up and down, you know, the Spirit help, you know, came upon, because I always came upon me. But people think it's just that, you know, but it's the working, what God had put in us, the Holy Spirit, the different works that he put in us. So I understand there's plenty of, I went to churches like that too, they'll put you out of the church for speaking in tongues and getting up, dancing. They don't want that, you know. So, but that was just like this, you know, different religions, you know. Is it called?
Affirmation of faith.
Yes.
Affirmation of faith. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so again, I see you, Erico 859. I'm coming to you, and Erico 440. I'm coming to your questions in just a second. Again, those things are as I was teaching, as I stated about the Nazarene. Some people, their level of faith or their level of understanding either is there or not there. And so when there's not an understanding, then people shy away or from that which they don't understand. Some people don't believe healing is for today. But I showed you all in the message the other day that not only does Malachi say God is the same God yesterday and today, but it's also taught that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So since the three is one, that means the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same gifts, the same opportunities, the same anointing that was available then is also available now. Welcome to the show, area code 859. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in on today. Did you have a question or comment that you'd like to make?
Sir, it was a great message, and I will be listening back in its entirety. But I love what you've listened to thus far, and very inspired. So thank you for this beautiful message, and I look forward to next Monday. Are you on every Monday, or how does that work?
Every Monday, we're here on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. With the help of the Lord, next Monday is a holiday, but I'm looking to join you all even in the holiday. Amen. If I have to do a pre-recording, we want to still be here for you.
Okay, and you're Pat Bonet?
Yes, I am. Kenneth Bonnet.
Pastor Bonet. Okay, so I will definitely be putting you into a favorite on Redial. Enjoyed thus far. So thank you, and God bless.
Amen. Area code 440. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in on the show tonight. Do you have a question or comment that you'd like to add?
Hey, Pastor Bonnet.
Hey, how you doing? That's Sister Lila. God bless you. Did you have a question or comment?
God bless you all. Yeah, I was wondering, is it too late to do my prayer request or no?
You're more than welcome. We welcome your prayer request. Our prayer is always in order. And so we prayed at the beginning, but we'll still pray for you. Yes, ma'am, we will. What's your prayer request?
Continue praying for me to find out more about the Lantern of Saybrook. Pray that I get to go on LOA this weekend. And also pray personal unspoken for Heather's sex.
Okay.
And then also my roommate and my soon-to-be new roommate, possibly.
All right. Well, we're definitely praying that God will orchestrate your life in a way that's going to be more beneficial for you. That we pray that God will give you the opportunity to expand your horizon. Amen. And so we just pray the peace of God be with you and keep you. We pray for clarity in your decision on to make things better. We know you were praying for a certain type of living assistance, and so we are praying that God will just open doors for you in the right season so that you'll be placed in the right place where you'll be safe.
Yes, sister, you hung up on me. I'll be right back.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
And would you hold on for Jesus?
Amen. All right.
Pastor Bonnet, I wanted to get my comment on your message there. You were talking about the fruits of the Spirit. not only are they there for us to consume, but when we have the fruits of the Spirit, such as love, peace, joy, the peace and joy are for us to consume, but also the love is there for us to also allow others to consume from us. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we're to be, I was going to say it earlier, but, you know, some people may take it the wrong way. But we're to be eight on. We're not to be consumed because we are the one to carry the gospel. And if I'm carrying the gospel, in order for the person to receive it, they must consume him. His word says, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. That's consumption. And we knew that when he gave that instruction, that 120 people walked away because they didn't understand. I was at the 70. Walked away, a large group of them walked away from him because they did not have the understanding of what he was meaning in that. And so somebody trying to say something?
And then before I go to bed,
Brother Six, you have a comment? Amen.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to put you on mute, Abby. Amen. All right. Come on. Mr. King. I'm sorry, is that Queen? Queen, come on.
Well, that was me. I was going to make a comment.
Oh, my queen.
And
okay.
When you...
my queen. Come
yes.
On, Lady Bonnie.
I know when you were saying that people take it the wrong way because it was kind of, it was funny to some people. Some people didn't understand. It was a billboard that a church had put up. And they say, Jesus, they eat me. And a lot of people did not understand that, you know. And it was like, but, you know, it looked funny, and then a lot of people was offended about it. But they didn't understand, you know, they took it the wrong way. So Do you understand the billboard that we saw that is the way they said that? That's
why
I just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah. If you think about it, a fruit tree, as beautiful as it may look and appear, it never eats itself. It simply is always making itself available for someone passing to come and consume the very fruit that was produced. And so if we produce the attributes of the Holy Spirit, then it is for consumption.
And that's why we have to read our word to get a clear understanding.
Amen.
We're not to get offended.
Amen. Amen.
And be in church. So get
amen.
Good teaching.
Amen. I'm unmuting your mic again. Brother
amen.
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 We were connected with your other call there, so I muted you for a
sorry
moment.
Sorry about that.
That's
yes,
okay.
Sorry about that.
But you're back.
Yes, I am.
Six, did you have any questions
message.
About the Holy Spirit in particular?
With the Holy Spirit, I'm gonna go back and listen in its entirety to the podcast. But my question is, okay, so you know how some people fake the Holy Ghost, okay? they run around the church, they, you know, but when it really hits you, so what I'm saying, so you got the fake and then you got the real Holy Ghost. So I'm saying, will one be able to distinguish the other? I don't know if I'm explaining myself right.
That's good. No, you're good. We're gonna venture right where you are.
Okay.
One of the things, let's be clear. If you and I were standing outside right now, mm-hmm. and a strong wind blew by, it don't matter if you were drunk, I was high, and somebody was standing next to us sober. The wind came mm-hmm. through, and it touched what? All of us. It touched all of us,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, based on my emotional state, I'm going to respond the way I'm going to respond by the blowing of that wind.
Mm-hmm.
So as the Spirit of the Lord moves through an atmosphere, there's many people who are touched by God, but not necessarily filled by God.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference. And so some people do have an emotional experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't stop them because the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So whether you are a sinner or a saint, you have every right to praise God. Period. So even if, so just because you are shouting or running around in the church does not mm-hmm. signify that you have the Holy Spirit. It does state that you are having an experience or an encounter with the Spirit of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it happens. We are emotional creatures, and so certain things can move us in certain ways.
Yes, sir.
But when the dust settles, what you do after that tells the whole story.
Okay. And
the Holy Spirit in me, it's going to do more than make me jump and shout.
Yeah.
He's going to help me live a godly life. Remember those four characteristics that I gave on yesterday? That's what it is. I mean, you ain't got to remember all four. I'll tell you what they are. The Holy Spirit, his ministry,
mm-hmm.
it creates a godly character within us. That's mm-hmm. number one. Number two, he gives us order and removes chaos. In other words, he make our life simple because we was in mm-hmm. chaos. So he quiets mm-hmm. the noise, fills our emptiness. So he fills he's filling our emptiness with godly presence. So the void that's in our life, the disconnect that's in our life, the uncertainty in our life, the Holy Spirit, he comes to fill those areas. Then number four, he restores our fellowship with the Father. And
sinners, we are disconnected from fellowship. But as Christians and believers, as sons and daughters of the Most High, we are connected back to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is the seal, keeps the fellowship. Amen. So did I answer your question, sir?
Yes, it did, sir. Yes, it did. And Tweety says hello. She's right here.
Hello.
Tell her hello. God bless her.
Hello. God bless you.
God bless you as well.
And you never spoke to First Lady, Bonnie. She's on the phone, too. That's his wife.
Okay. Amen. Got a whole bunch of people on the line, so just say hello, everybody.
Hello to everyone.
Hello, hello, everybody on the line.
There you go. There you go. And, there you go. That way we don't have nobody feeling left out. We don't want nobody feeling left
out.
Yeah.
People get left out. They get mad. Can I suggest a topic early? Because I know you get busy with suggestions. So. Okay. Hold on. Wow. Let me put this on you. Watch together. Hold on. I'm sorry.
All right. Do we have anyone else that have any more questions? We lost us a little. Okay. All right. Everybody else still online?
Hey, Dad.
You got a question, Sister Emily?
I was just going to ask you, as far as the Holy Spirit goes, now, there's people that tell me, oh, well, if you truly got the gift of the Holy Spirit, you have the evidence of speaking in tongues, this and that. Now, is that factual or just somebody talking?
It's in the Bible. I read it earlier. That is one evidence.
Okay.
Let me be clear. It's not the only evidence. You know, it is one evidence of his presence in your life. Is the ability to speak in tongues as he gives utterance. So, I speak of relational. And it's intentional. So, speaking in tongues, like right now during this program, if I went off to speaking in tongues, that's not going to prove that I'm spiritual to you all, because it's going to confuse you all. It's going to bring in confusion. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he removes chaos. So he don't add chaos. He removes it. He puts things in order. So unless there was a visitor minister on the program tonight and he was listening in another country or whatever, and we're on broadcast, and I was speaking in tongues, and God gave him the interpretation of it, and he began to interpret what I said, then that will be the evidence of the Spirit of God moving through us to deliver a word for his people. Now, in my regular prayer, and that's why I say read the rest of this, chapter, and it breaks that down some more concerning speaking in tongues.
And I may read a few more verses depending on how many more questions we have.
And did I hear our founder out there tonight?
Yeah, that was Mission, and that was Brother Six. He had to just mute. He just muted his line. Something was going on there.
Excuse me. Hello, Sister Emily, and everybody else. Okay, so here's my suggestion, because I know you get filled up quick. So can you do the next series? Can you do an episode on living, not just existing, and sleep for six, woke for one? I appreciate that.
Okay.
All I was going to do is tell him that
he's listening.
When my mom and I pulled that surprise on him, she said just to tell him, he'll never know when it's going to happen again, my talented son.
Yeah, he is talented.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, my mother from another mother. I appreciate that.
Amen.
Yes, she said you're her adopted, talented, handsome son, too.
Don't blow his head up. Don't blow his head up. Don't blow his head up. Don't do it. There's people connected to him that got to deal with it, man. And don't do it.
Well, Kenny and I have actually seen Six before, and he is handsome.
Y'all blowing the head up. Y'all blowing the head up.
All right, now. All right now, this is a heck of a motivation.
Y'all
no money with Pastor Kenneth
Bonnet. Listen, y'all working too early for your Christmas gifts. You're working too
y'all
early.
Y'all come here every Monday, 8 Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Y'all come here every Monday and give me comments. I love it.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Hey, Kenny, have vision a little bit when we recorded with Six? I think you did, right?
Yes, I did.
So you know how handsome he is, too.
Well, trust me, I had enough vision to be able to tell what he looked like, but I couldn't make out real fine details, but enough to tell you that he was a pretty decent-looking guy.
That's all right. We got his picture on the... he'll be all right. Amen.
Well, we all need to get together and see one another and have dinner together.
All right. I want to read this real quick.
And I would like everything you make for Pastor Bonnie. Since I've met you, I've been keeping a pretty good menu. Because one thing he couldn't wait to get off air for. I'm trying to think of the name of it. I don't know if it was some kind of pasta, but this man was ready to jump off the phone.
I'm trying to eat it so I can go on, eat and lay down before it's time to go to work.
Tonight? You got to go to work tonight?
Early in the morning, like 2 a.m. And yeah, I'll pray we're going to be stepping out. My lawn service is growing again. I'm turning down work because it's more than I can handle. So I'm going to have to change my schedule here. I got to change my schedule up so I can be able to manage it. I've spent down quite a bit of money that I can't handle it, and I can't overwhelm myself. I got I got too old in life to be chasing money.
Well, let me ask you,
well, you may have to pray to find some good helpers to work with you and expand.
So what you can do, you can have the extension cross cut.
Y'all keep uplifted up. We've been praying about that, trying to get someone, good laborers, good people to work for them that's going to be honest. So.
Well. First lady.
And I'll probably start with them myself. Get out there. I just don't want to get a tan.
Well, look here, first lady. You're too beautiful to be out there. What you can do is bring him a cold drink when he sweats. Now here's what I propose.
Don't tell her that.
Here's what I propose. Now, if you all know me. You know, I told you about my landscaping business that I was in for one day. Pastor Bonnie, I told you the story. But for the listeners.
Okay.
So it was an older guy on the next street who had a landscaping business. So he said, well, you know how to cut grass? I said, yeah, I've cut my grass. My father, I vouch for him. He do a decent job. All right. White shirt, black pants, boots. Got those. Went to my first client's house. Did good. Went to the next neighbor's house. Front yard, perfect. Backyard, everything was perfect until I tried to cut around a bird bath, a stone bird bath. They didn't have a weed whacker. So I'm trying to go around the bird bath with the lawnmower. On my way of completing the circle, I knocked the bird bath over. It broke. Her husband just passed. And that ended my landscaping career and my paycheck. I didn't get paid for that. But since then, if you have no lawns that have bird baths, I would love to partake and join in the team of cross-cut landscaping with eyes closed lawn service. And you never know what time you'll get. Now, eyes closed lawn service, an extension to cross-cut design. What do you think?
Well, I think I got plenty of weed whackers, what you call weed whacker. So you can trim around everything. I just need to teach you the difference between weeds and plants so that you don't whack the plants thinking they weeds.
Amen. When can I start? I'm very excited.
Yeah, we're going to put you on an interview opportunity on this Friday.
Okay. I appreciate that. What time?
We start early.
Okay, I'm going to eat now and go to sleep. I'm going to
give you to 8.
I'm going to eat now. So I'm going to eat now, get off of here. I love you all. I'm going to eat, go to sleep now, and then I'll wake up Thursday and be ready for Friday.
I want to thank you for tuning in. We are at the end of our time. I value everyone's time. We've reached the end of our program this evening. I want to say thank you again for each one of you all that took time to spend with us on this evening. I truly pray that something I said will encourage you to utilize the Holy Spirit in your life, to allow him to develop you, your characteristics, your strengths. The good observation, take a piece of paper out, and put a line down the middle. on one side, write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wrap one behind the other. Not side by side, but one, drop down a line, two, drop down a line, three, drop down a line. Do that. Put about 5 right there, and then on the other side, do the same thing. At the top of it, I want you to hit on the left side, strength. And then on the right side, I want you to put on the heading, weaknesses. In other words, I want you to write down 5 of your strengths and 5 of your weaknesses. Now, you don't have to have 5 of each. You may be only able to write down 1 or 2. That's fine. But what I want you to do is I want you to look at your strength and ask God, is it strong enough? And I want you to look at your weakness. And I want you to ask God to develop them. Now, to develop, when you develop weakness, what will happen is they will change. They will no longer be on the right side of the people. They'll be on the left side when they're strong. And so that's your goal. Take time to do that, self-development. The Holy Spirit will help you do it. He will help strengthen you, guide you, and lead you into all truth. That's his job, is to develop us as saints. Let him work. Work with him. Don't grieve him. Now, by the grace of God and sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may he rest, rule, and abide with each one of us. May he give us traveling mercy as we travel to and forth and to our different destinations. May he keep us safe and protect our home from unseen hurt, harm, or danger. Don't allow evil to cross our threshold, but keep peace within our home. And God, as you do these things, we have a testimony that we will share with others of how good you are and how well you have kept us. And we thank you now. It is in your Son Jesus' name we give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. We're dismissed from the program. God bless each one of you. Tune in tomorrow. I think it's 1 o'clock for the Word from the King with Tim Gruber. God bless you. We'll see you again next time. God bless.
God bless y'all. Love you guys.
God bless.
Bye-bye.